Blog Talk Radio.
Come on, man. And with the local DBC news, LL Cool J with a triumphant comeback. More on solo. But tonight,
don't call it a comeback. I've been here for years. I'm rocking my pants. What's up with the beer? Making the tears rain down like a monsoon. Listen to the bass go boom, exploding. Overpowering, over the competition. I'm towering, wrecking shop. When I drop these lyrics, that'll make you call the cops. Don't you dare stare. You better move. Don't ever compare me to the rest that'll all get sliced and diced. Competition's paying the price.
Welcome to Spit Game on the Melting Pot Radio Network. I am your host, Daniel Trowick, along with my partner in progress, Miss Danny Wright. Hey, Danny, what's up?
That prolonged. What's up, man?
I'm good, Danny. I am good. You know, this is the perfect song for tonight. It is the college football championship game tonight, Clemson versus Alabama. They probably in the locker room right now listening to this like, yo, mama said knock these boys out. Let's get it. So I'm ready.
Yeah,
I'm ready.
You know
I'm
what
excited.
Else is perfect for? It's also
What's
perfect
up?
For it's also perfect for Cincinnati since they're defensive players have got I'm sorry, their linebacker, Vontaze.
Vontaze Burfict.
Three games. Yeah,
three games, $50,000.
Illegal knockouts.
Hey, we knew it was coming. We knew it was coming. It wasn't a surprise.
They should have.
He was tripping.
They should have dropped. Yeah, they should have dropped the hammer on him a long time ago.
Oh, yeah, he was definitely tripping throughout the later part of the season. And, I mean, we called pretty much every single game last week on the NFL playoff preview pick'em show that we had. And all four away teams won. They shouldn't have, but they did.
Right.
And, yeah, Marvin Lewis' job apparently is safe. That's what they're saying now. I said he was going to get fired. He still got a job. We shall see. He lost control of his players, and that is what cost him that game. So I'm ready for tonight, Danny. You know, we have an amazing guest coming on tonight. Oh, my gosh. Listen, y'all, listen. I've been working hard behind the scenes since we started this network to get this woman on this show. You know, me and her, we go back to my writing days. You know, she had her blog, Lady Sings the Sports. I had my blog, the Ultimate Sports Town blog, whatever I called it, many different names. And, you know, she is an amazing writer. She's very talented. And, you know, she's down in the Tennessee area. So I'm just excited, super extremely excited, to bring on the star of the hour, Miss Rosalind Ross. Hello, Rosalind. How you doing tonight?
Hey, they're not the star of the hour. That's really, really flattering.
Oh, yes.
I will take it.
That's you.
I will take it. What's going on, Danny? How are you?
Hey, Roz. What's up?
Nothing much. Nothing much. So happy to be on with you guys. And you have not been begging me. You finally put in an actual, like, yes, come
request
on Monday. To this point, right. To this point, it's been like, yeah, we need to hook up. We need to hook up. Yeah, let's hook up. Let's hook up. And then finally it was like, oh, let's hook up on Monday. Oh, okay, we'll hook up on Monday. Cool. Very good. So I'm happy to be here.
All right, all right. You put me on blast. Thank you. I appreciate it. And yes, yes, yes. There was no significant, consistent, specific date that I used at all over these past 6-7 months. But this one is the date that I use, and you are here. So I am excited, and I want to just jump right on in. You know, I just want to talk real quick about your blog, the reason that we ended up connecting, how we met in the sports arena. Lady Sings the Sports. Can you tell everybody about Lady Sings the Sports?
Yeah, you know, I don't know. I guess it's been 3 or 4 years ago now. I was trying to make my way, you know, find a way to express all this stuff I have in my head about and how culture intersects with that as well as music. And I'm a big music fan, so you know, played around with a couple ideas and finally came up with Lady Sings the Sports, like Lady Sings the Blues. If any of y'all are old enough to have a hint of a remembrance of Billie Holiday or the movie that Diana Ross was in. But just basically using music as sort of, and music lyrics as a platform to launch into some conversations about sports and current culture and current events. And, you know, got on Twitter and was able to connect with some amazing people, and Daniel here was one of them. And I'm tripping because you're speaking so passively about your blog, but I miss that blog. I mean, you know, you kept us updated very consistently, more consistent than a lot of people that I still follow today, even more consistent than I write. So if you can make your way back around to that, your fans would appreciate it. But I digress. But since then, I was able to do some more writing and hooked up with the guys over at the Sports Fan Journal last year. And, you know, through that connection, was able to get featured over at Fox and MSN a couple of times. So it's been a nice little ride. You know, it's one of these blind grinds, which they always are. You just go until somebody says, oh, I like your stuff enough to have you on their show, like you're having me on tonight, or to feature my stuff, my writing somewhere else. So I'm happy to be here tonight, and I'm thankful for whatever opportunities come my way. I gotta write something purely for Lady Sings the Sports, though, because I haven't written anything that went specifically there and just planted itself there in a long time. Usually I'll write something there, and then it ends up going to another blog. But I got to do something to support. I'm making a note right now to get that done.
Note taken. Note taken. And thank you for your compliment on my blog. Yeah, it's been a while. It's been a while. I don't know if I'll be back over there writing.
No,
I'm not sure.
I know.
But it's something that it was the reason why I stopped, and I don't know if that reason, that lingering reason, has completely gone away. But I'm getting back into writing, but I'm actually working on my first book, and not sports.
Oh,
so
cool. Very good. Yeah.
That's a whole nother avenue. But Danny, go ahead. I'm sorry I cut you off. Oh, did I not? I thought I heard her talking. Oh, her call dropped. Sorry, guys. But, yeah, so I'm sure she will be calling back in a second, y'all. But, yeah, Rosalind, it's been a long time. I think it was about 4 or 5 years ago now when we hooked up through Twitter and our blog.
Yeah.
And, you know, things have been moving and taken off since then. You know, I remember you moving on to the other network and doing the other show and your writing opportunities. Oh, my gosh, please tell everybody about the many other things that you actually do as well. I know you write the blog, you talk sports, but what else do you do besides those two things?
Well, a couple of years ago, I started acting, actually, which is weird because I actually found an agent in Memphis and started working with an agency here. But I did it because I just wanted to have visibility to some of these sports casting jobs that come up. You know, my idea was that, I'm going to look and I'm going to see that so-and-so, you know, that Spike Network is casting a female host for their skateboarding show, and maybe, you know, I can get considered. So that was my thing. But it actually turned out that my agency pushed me into putting together a complete acting profile, getting headshots, and it's been a really amazing ride. Last April, I was a co-star on the ABC Network show Nashville, which is on hiatus right now. It'll be back in March. But if any of my ladies out there probably, and some guys, watch that show, even though it's sort of an evening sort of soap. But good stuff. I had an opportunity to be with that cast last year for an episode and have done maybe, I don't know, 10 commercials since then. And one really cool thing where my acting and sports writing intersected is, I don't know if you got a chance to see it, Daniel, when the Grizzlies did their video tribute to Mark Gasol, basically begging him to not leave the agency. But they actually cast both my husband and I in that video to talk about Mark and how valuable he is to the Grizzlies. And really the video was more about how valuable he is to the city of Memphis, and just how much of a Memphis guy he is. So, we got a chance to work with Craig Brewer, who is of Hustle and Flow fame. And of course that video was shown all over NBA TV and ESPN. So, really big highlights last year as far as acting is concerned. So we'll see what's up with 2016. And then finally, I've been featured as a fitness coordinator, a fitness writer for Rolling Out magazine, which has been a crazy ride as well. Because,
nice.
I teach yoga. I didn't say that, but I do teach yoga, and it's been amazing to have a different type of audience. You know what I'm saying? Like, you're doing your book now, and it's not about sports, and you're starting to build that catalog of thinking and that type, thinking outside of the sports box. And I'm doing that same thing when I write about fitness, which is something I never would have thought I would do, but I love it. And it's just another opportunity to expose another group of people to your writing. And, it's not as cool as writing a book, but it's working out pretty well.
Oh, come on now. It's just as cool. And, it's crazy because, Danny and I, about 3 or 4 years ago, when we had an idea to do a radio show, it was just sports. We were like, we need to do a sports show. We could connect and collaborate and do our own show. And life happened. It never came to fruition. And then last year, it was like, yeah, Danny, we need to hook up and do our sports show now. And I was like, you know what? We're at different places in our lives now. We're in the ministry of God. We're doing God's work. We also are entrepreneurs and business owners. So let's just start our own network, and we could add everything in together. And that's how the Melting Pot Radio Network was formed. It's funny that you said, you went into acting to pretty much further your sports career, and it has led you to some amazing places. And yes, I did see the video with you guys begging Mark to stay in Memphis. I did watch
begging.
The video. It was a great video. It was definitely a great video. And I remember the scene with you and your husband sitting at the bar talking about it. And it was like, wow, look at Rise. Ah, that's awesome. And, just thinking back, looking back at that, I'm happy you went there, because all I can envision is Powell in Memphis. You go back to the trade that everyone despised when that trade was first made for Mark Gasol going to Memphis from L.A., who didn't play. We knew him internationally, but as far as NBA experience, he was pretty much a nobody. Javaris Crittenden, some draft picks, all for Powell to go help Kobe win the championship. Can you go back to that moment and that trade?
Well, first of all, we dodged a bullet with Javaris Crittenden, right? I mean,
oof, literally.
Just how that young man's life, turned out and the type of troubled spirit he was. So we really did dodge a bullet there. And that's really the story. While we dodged that bullet, I should say, that's kind of the story of the Grizzlies. we've taken several bullets as well. Powell was not one of them, though, because, you know, he won Rookie of the Year with us, and we loved Powell. I mean, just an amazing, amazing talent. But it started to become obvious to us fairly quickly that he really wasn't, I don't want to say, he's definitely a star player, but he's not your centerpiece player. Like, he's not the guy that you can count on to, you know, be the leader, the head of your team, to drive your success. He's not that guy. And people, you know, people hated that trade. I think people in Memphis were ready for, you know, some sort of shakeup as related to Powell. The problem was we didn't, you know, we couldn't have foreseen how it was going to work out with Mark. You know, there were rumblings like, you know, and Mark grew up here. But actually, when Mark was in high school, he was overweight the whole time. And that was a lot of criticism around town, even though he was, you know, he took his high school team to the championship. But still, we knew he was overweight. We didn't know how that skill set was really going to translate into the NFL. I mean, to the NBA. But it turned out to work out really well. But it honestly was tough for me personally to say goodbye to Powell, because I thought Powell was a really good guy and really good for the team. Unfortunately, we're in such a little market. We're not like a Chicago or an L.A. that can have that guy plus a new guy, you know, plus the guy. So he went somewhere where he was a guy with the guy, which he went to in L.A., and I was very happy for him to have that kind of success. And even, you know, even the success he's finding in Chicago, I like seeing him confident in that way. I mean, last year he was absolutely killing. So, you know, tough trade, definitely took a lot of heat. You know, I mean, I've heard people say that it was, you know, a lot of the criticism that was heaved upon the league for allowing that sort of trade to happen. And I think Greg Popovich was one of those guys who was really vocal about it. But I think that criticism started to play itself out in, you know, people taking a much closer look at the type of trades that were being allowed and the fairness of it all. And that may have been what actually stopped later down the line Chris Paul from getting to the Lakers. You know, the league wasn't prepared to allow for that kind of criticism yet again. So it definitely had a ripple effect. But now Mark's with us, and he's been great. But you know, we definitely begged for him to stay. Funny thing about that commercial. Funny thing about that video, Daniel. A week before we shot it, I had just written a piece about, you know, the Knicks at the time were really, you know, were really, really, really dying to have Mark on their team. So at the time, you know, we thought they were the number one team trying to get him in free agency, and I had just dropped an article basically saying, I hope they know what they're getting into, you know, because Mark gets away with, you know, we think of him as a center and he won Defensive Player of the Year and all that, but the bottom line to me is and continues to be that Zach Randolph takes a lot of the pressure off of what Mark has to do down low. So if you separated those guys, like if you took Mark and you didn't understand that, I thought you were going to be in for a rude awakening. So I basically wrote an article warning the Knicks about that. And I knew that one of the guys who cast me in the commercial followed my blog. So I'm sitting here like, okay, are they gonna ask me to leave because I basically wrote, you know, a few paragraphs just giving a little slight to Mark. And as soon as I sat down in the seat, Morgan John Fox, who was like the AD, the assistant director on the shoot, was like, you know what, I read your piece about Mark, and I really, really, really liked it because I thought it was really honest. And he's a huge Grizzlies fan, so he must have felt my pain, because otherwise somebody else would have been saying, get her out of here, she's not a true believer. But, you know, right now the Grizz, and I know you don't want to talk all about the Grizz, but I do want to say this, there's this obsession to turn the Grizz over to Mark and Mike, and separate, and you know, and hail them as the kings without giving a lot of respect to Tony Allen and Zach Randolph. Zach's coming off the bench now. But man, Zach is our one consistent scorer. And I don't think Mark and Mike are ready for the team to be turned over to them, not solely in that way. This is grit and grind, and it's a team effort. And our local paper just published an article basically saying that same thing. But we went to the Grizz game last night, and and watched Zach single-handedly bring them back from like 21 points down against the Boston Celtics. So it's not quite Mark's team yet, but eventually he'll get there. Maybe when he's healthier, but it's just not his team yet.
Yeah, I personally don't think it's his team yet either. You know, it's been Zebo's team since he's been there, and I know Zebo had the early issues in his career with his attitude and his behavior on and off the court, but, I mean, he's turned it around a lot in Memphis. And, you know, I hate the Grizzlies personally because I am a Rockets fan, but it's no hard feelings here, you know?
Yeah, right, yeah.
But, you know, with that team, the way it's set up now, do you see them – like really pushing for a championship run this year?
No. Well, no. I don't even know. You know, it's to the point now where I don't have a really good read on whether we're going to win games or not. I mean, last night we went to the game with some friends of ours who are Boston Celtics fans, and they were lamenting the fact that in the time, and they're from Little Rock, and they were lamenting the fact that since they've been living in Memphis, they've been going to the Boston Celtics and Memphis Grizzlies matchup when it's at the Forum, and they've never won. And I was like, you know what, I feel pretty confident that you guys will win tonight. And that prediction looked really good until, like I said, Zebo came in and helped turn it around. So I don't even understand. I don't really get a real good sense of when this team is going to win games. Like, you know, normally you'd know a few matchups. You look at your schedule and you say, okay, Spurs, that could go either way. Houston, that could go either way. Clippers. But, you know, there are those teams where you just know you should come away with a win. And I don't, you know, any night, literally any night we could lose now because our offense, you know, I keep on hearing about how our team is old and the new league, the new Steph Curry vaulted league is all about speed and small players. And that's cool if you have the personnel, but if you don't have the personnel to do that, then you have to play in line with what your personnel does best. And what we do best is play defense and grind out games and somehow win them. Well, the problem is there hasn't been a lot of emphasis on that. And so because of that, we've been running around trying to be something we're not, and that doesn't work out in your real life, and it doesn't work out in basketball. You can't be something you're not. And the Grizzlies are not a quick shooting. They're not a quick shooting, three-point shooting, small team that zips around. And, you know, no one on our team is that kind of player. And so, you know, it's like Dave Yeager, can you please go back to what you do best and start stressing that stuff again? And I think the tide may be turning a little bit now, but now I'm just wondering if it's too late. Conley is injured. I don't think Gasol is playing his best ball. You got Zach coming off the bench. He's taking it like a champ, but I don't know. I mean, realistically, I don't know long-term how that's going to feel to him, especially understanding his power as the one consistent offensive threat we have. You know, it may be too late to turn that magic back on. And, you know, so I don't know how well we'll finish, but I definitely don't see a championship happening this year. And then the thing is the same, Daniel. Every year we know we need to get somebody that can shoot the ball, and quite honestly, we need a super, you know, some sort of superstar, you know, quote unquote, whatever we're calling that these days. Mark isn't going to be it, you know. And my husband's like just like his brother. His brother wasn't, you know. So Mark probably isn't going to be the superstar. Get a superstar. Keep Mark around, figure out how to make it work financially, and get somebody that can shoot the ball consistently from the outside. But that's the same stuff we say every year. But just this year, I don't know if our defense is going to hold up.
Yeah, the guys are getting a little up there in age. And, you know, if around the trade deadline, if they're around 500, you know, do you see them making any moves?
Well, yeah. You know, sadly, the one I keep hearing – is probably on the table is Zach to move, because he still, of course, other teams see that he has value. But, you know, you better really know what you're doing. You know, I mean, if you pull that trigger, you have to have a heck of an understanding of the guy you're bringing in, because he's going to really have to be the first and second scorer. Ideally, you keep Zach as your second scorer, and you bring in somebody who can be your number one guy, you know, and Mark and Zach kind of tough it out for that second spot. But if you get rid of Zach, you're teetering with really your first and first and a half scoring option. And that's just a dangerous pot to be playing in. But I think he's going to be the guy that we are willing to give up, and it better be for some real top level talent and not just for, you know, another, I don't know, Mario Chalmers. And Mario Chalmers has been amazing for us, but we don't need another one of him. We need, you know, Kobe. Kobe from 10 years ago, but, you know, that's not out there. But we need something amazing.
Yeah. I completely agree. And, you know, I'm loving the way that you're playing right now and just completely inconsistent, just like my horrible Rockets. You know, I wouldn't mind the Rockets and Memphis making a trade. Just Zach for Dwight straight up. I don't even care. I just want Dwight away from Houston. That's all I want right now. But let's jump over real quick to the NFL.
You how you feel about that Dwight thing? I was going to say, like, are you a fan of him? Because I don't like him for your team. So I didn't figure – but I was curious to know how you felt about it. But you just told me, and you don't like him either.
Oh, yeah. I don't like him for my team. I mean, Dwight, he came into the league with so much upside and so much potential, the magical P-word, and he just did not live up to the hype. He hasn't gotten any better. He's the same as he always was. And it's sad, you know, for the fact that he's played with some great players. He's worked out with some amazing coaches, and he just cannot get any better. It's about that time. It's time for him to go. We're not winning anything with Dwight. I mean, James, he struggles enough as it is. And last year, he carried that team by himself. And, you know, it's just a struggle. I would like to see Dwight gone, plain and simple. I want him out of there.
Yeah.
I want him out. I would love for them to work out a deal to get Cousins in. I would love that. I don't care about Cousins' attitude. He gets out there and he plays ball. And I think he'd be a great fit for the team.
He gets out there and plays ball,
But, I don't want to talk about the Rockets, man. At least they're at 500 for a change. That's beautiful. But I wanted to jump over to the NFL. You know, the Tennessee Titans, Marcus Mariota was their number one pick. He lived up to the hype of him coming in and possibly being a franchise quarterback. He played well. His offensive line was hot garbage this year. You know, they don't have a coach. They don't have a GM. Everything that's going on in Tennessee right now, where do you see them looking for their new coach? And, you know, as far as their first pick that they have coming up in the draft, where do you see them looking at there?
No. So this coaching situation, I mean, this entire team, like you know, I don't know. I remember, you know, I had never, ever watched or been interested in football ever until we got the Titans. And I actually was living in Nashville at the time that the Titans moved to Tennessee. And I went to my first NFL game, and it completely wrecked my life. Like, I'm like, oh, God, I have to see this every week as many times as I can. And really became a huge fan in that way. And there was just so much confidence and surety and pride in that team. And it's a version of the team that we haven't seen very much since then. And I'm talking about maybe 10, 12 years ago. The coaching situation, QB situation. I mean, it's, you know, that's been our little seesaw over the last few years. I thought Mike Munchak could have gotten a little more time. Now, you know, I'm having to say that now on the heels of him pulling the hair of a player on the sideline in a playoff game. You know, he's getting a bad rap for that. So, you know, that probably doesn't make me too bright. But as a leader of men in Tennessee, and as someone who was like a home, you know, who was a homegrown, I think he played with the Oilers. So he wasn't really homegrown, but he had been a part of the organization. I think he needed a little more time. They didn't give him more time. And he didn't have any players, right? So then, we get Ken Whisenhunt, and that, you know, that could have gone either way, and it went the wrong way. and we finally get a QB, and now we've got this situation. So this whole time I've been saying, please, 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 don't bring this dude in that y'all just fired in Philadelphia. I don't even want to say his name because I don't want him to end up in Tennessee. And now I'm sort of kicking myself because, you know, the first person they're planning on interviewing this week is Mike Mularkey. And Mike Mularkey is part of Kim Wisenhunt's staff. Okay, cool, whatever, fine. But Mike Mularkey basically has stunk up the joint. Like, he has not, he doesn't have a winning record. I'm looking down at my notes real quick. He was 14 and 18 with the Bills, and then 2 and 14 with Jacksonville Jaguars. And that was his last head coaching assignment. And now he's the first guy that we're calling up. I'm hoping it's because he is already a part of the organization. Because what I don't want to see is this problem that seems to be an issue all across the NFL, is that we love bringing these guys back around. I don't know. Maybe people just like them. But as far as their success as a head coach in the league, many of them haven't had that. One other person they're planning on interviewing is they're planning on interviewing Terrell Austin, who is the D coordinator up in Detroit, which I'm coming to understand they're saying that's probably because of the Rooney Rule, which is a shame we have to still say something's happening because of the Rooney Rule. But he's been contacted by several organizations, so that might either all of those people are trying to supply their, you know, their check in the column for the Rooney Rule, or people are really interested in him, so that could be a fight. The guy I'm most excited about, which I can't even believe I'm admitting this out loud, is Josh McDaniels, who reportedly is on the radar as well. I know, but he's won games.
At least, you're right.
He's won. You know what I mean? I mean, he won as a head coach, and he's got a, you know, he's won Super Bowls with the Patriots, and he's had a ridiculous amount of success with that organization. So maybe a guy who has success in his first go-around, then, you know, is humble and then gets a second go-around, maybe whatever he needed to learn, he's learned, and he can couple that along with his winning attitude. That's what I'm hoping for. But, you know, it's like your question about personnel. The team has so many needs. I can't even begin to imagine where they might start. I'm still not pleased with our wide receiver crew. I'm not very pleased with our running back situation. I'm not very pleased with our defense. So, I mean, there are a lot of holes to fill, but I guess I'm really excited. At least we're not looking for a QB, which it seems like we've been looking for a QB every single year since we got Vince Young, and you know how long ago that was. But you know, of the list I've seen, sadly, Josh McDaniels is, you know, only because he's been a winner, he's my number, you know, he's my go-to guy on that list. We also need a GM, and I don't even know where that search will possibly begin. But I'm hoping that this organization can find its way back to whatever that thing was that made us love the Titans, you know, taking it way back in the Steve McNair days, Eddie George days. Even since then, you know, there was love for VY, there was love for Vince Young, you know, there was definitely love for CJ, you know, for Chris Johnson, and then it was just poof, it was gone. And at the beginning of this season, I was hoping that, you know, well, actually, when Peyton Manning first went to Denver, that really opened up the AFC South. I mean, it put every team on alert. Like, this is your opportunity to sort of wiggle your way in. At least it felt like that. And it's just unfortunate to me that the Titans have not been able to take advantage of that, you know, especially given what we saw out of Houston. I mean, they didn't really have a chance in the game that they just played a couple of days ago, and they won the AFC South. So it's still up for grabs if we can get ourselves together. But there's a lot to be done, and hopefully they'll make a good decision with the head coach. I haven't even heard Lovie Smith's name, and this is a guy who went to the Super Bowl. And, you know, I think he needs to be on the list, but I doubt he gets on it. I mean, let's just keep it real. I doubt he gets on the list. You're not a Lovie Smith fan? What's going on?
I am so not a Lovie Smith fan. Lovie Smith, he is my version of Romeo Crennel. He is a great coordinator. He cannot lead men. He just cannot do it. And It's just the facts of the matter. For me, I mean, he led the Bears to the Super Bowl, but it really wasn't him. You know, it was that defense. You know, Brian Urlacher, Lance Briggs, Charles Tillman, them guys, they just shut everything down, plain and simple. They got to the Super Bowl with Kyle Orton and then let Rex Grossman. His coaching decision of not letting the guy who took them the whole way to the Super Bowl and bringing in funky Rex Grossman was the most horrible coaching decision ever. I don't care if that was your guy. He did not play the whole season. That's what lost him the Super Bowl. So, I mean, he's just not a coach to me. And I wasn't surprised by the firing. You know, they said, listen, the ownership said, look, we got Jameis Winston in. He doesn't look bad. He looks like he has some promise. We need to get a coach in here that's probably going to be an offensive-minded coach that they hire and that's going to help groom Jameis Winston. And Lovey had to go. He's just not a coach to me. He's a coordinator.
Yeah, well, you know. They lost five out of the last six or something.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they don't – you know, the powers that be in the NFL, they don't do well with those – you know, with those back half losing streaks. So, you know, as he was losing game after game after game after starting 500, after he was losing all those games on the back end, you know, it's always about what have you done for us lately, and he hadn't done much. But, you know, I you know, between Kyle Orton and Rex Grossman, I didn't think either one of those guys were, you know, awesome. So I've always given him a little bit of a little next level respect pass because he was able to get that team, that Bears team, to the Super Bowl. But you're right, it was definitely all defensive. And they, there's, you know, they didn't have much of a chance on the offensive side of the ball to be able to match what Indianapolis and Peyton were doing at the time. So, but I thought he would get a longer, to start the season, I thought he was going to get a little more time with Tampa Bay. But again, that back half put him in a position that he just didn't recover from. But
yep,
I wouldn't mind him on the list.
Oh, yeah, I mean, it's the fact that the talent that he has on defense, the players that he has on that defense are some very, very good players. And, you know, he couldn't get them to play at the level that he once had the Chicago Bears playing at. And I'm sure ownership looked at that. They went out and spent the money on these guys, drafted the guys, and he can't get them to play better football. That's on the coach. And, I mean, Marvin Lewis, he's also – he's on a list. He needs to be gone. But, you know, he's pretty much in that Andy Reid state. When Andy was still in Philadelphia, you know, they were consistent regular season, good teams, but just cannot get the job done in the playoffs. And, you know, he's on that list as well. He needs to be gone. And, I mean,
well,
you know,
you
have the same issue with finding
a coach.
I don't understand what that is. But, you know, you have those issues with coaches and franchise quarterbacks. And, no, they're hard to find. We know that. They are definitely hard to find, but if you're not winning a championship and the numbers go, I think with the coaches that are hired, they normally win a Super Bowl within the first 5 years as being a coach. If they don't, they never win.
Oh, well.
So, I mean, he can't even win a playoff game. So,
right.
It's about that time. It is definitely about that time. And, you know, the way you describe Tennessee made me feel good as a Browns fan because I thought you were talking about the Browns, but you were actually talking about a different team, and you made me feel good about myself. Thank you, Rosalind.
Yes, yeah, someone
I appreciate
else
it.
Understands. Someone else understands your plight, my friend. It is, you know, outside of these, you know, the glitzy, sexy teams that do it every year that are always, you know, part of the big time conversations about what teams people are looking forward to seeing play and who's going to do what in the playoffs. There are the rest of us, you know, who are just grinding it out every year, hoping that somehow we can become relevant and relevant enough that somebody wants to come and coach there and play there. And we can attract the talent and draft the talent that gets us where we need to go. And I'm still, you know, every year I got my fingers crossed that'll happen, that we'll return to form, and it just hasn't happened yet. But I was joking about that when people were going crazy on Twitter, you know, like Marvin Lewis deserves to be fired. Like he's going to get fired. And every time somebody tweeted that, I wrote back and said, you know, this dude's got a lifetime contract. Like he must have a lifetime contract somewhere like that folded up in his shoe or in a file cabinet that he's keeping a secret, because there have been so many times before this time that we all said we can't believe he hasn't lost his job yet. And somehow, he's still there. So I'm like, maybe they promised him you know, maybe he got his lifetime contract even before LeBron got his or something. But because he is immovable, they won't get rid of him. So I don't know. I mean, I hope he can do something with all these nine lives he's been given. So here's hoping the next year he can get it. He can get better players or better attitudes or make them be men or whatever he needs to do, because that team is just simply out of control.
Yep, definitely are. And I don't know, he must have some kind of dirty secrets on ownership, some photos, something that he can possibly leak if something gets out there, you know. But I don't get it. I honestly don't get it. And, you know, last week on Spit Game on the show, you know, we had Nick Ficarelli on, Mike Patton, Chance Bynum on, and we had a playoff preview pick'em show, and we picked our way to the championship, to the Super Bowl. And, you know, I made the comment. I said, listen, Cincinnati's going to lose, and he needs to be fired. I knew they were going to lose.
Yeah.
They had no business winning that game. You know, luckily, Ben got hurt on their end, and they were able to come back because Landry couldn't get anything done. But, you know, it was just a real tough situation, and I just don't understand. I don't understand. And, you know, what really sparked me to completely going all in that he was going to get fired was the fact that, you know, the media, before the game started, they said they spoke to Marvin, and he said this is the best team that he's coached. This is the best team that he's had. And then they lose. And then they lose the way they lost. That's what makes it so crazy. It's the way that they lost. And that is all on him. I mean, Vontaze Burfict has played great in his career, even though he was an issue coming out of college. Everybody shied away of drafting him because of his attitude issues. And he was a first-round talent that went undrafted. So that was always the red flag from the beginning. And, you know, once you start seeing him losing his head down the stretch of the season, you have to band up and be the coach. Like, yeah, you want to win games, but you got to sit because you're hurting the team. And that's a coaching decision, and he didn't make that decision. So it's tough on him. I don't know. I don't know where they're going from here, but I mean, I don't care. They're not winning anything, and
they're not winning games.
It's good. It's good being in Cleveland. You know, it's the Battle of Ohio. We're bad, but at least we don't go out like that.
Yeah, exactly. That's got to be the worst way that, you know. After I watched that game, I was saying to myself, like, this is both the most spectacular loss and win ever. You know what I mean? Like, on both sides, it was like, I mean, because at some point over there, those guys had to be like, oh, my God, we're going to lose. And all of a sudden, two dumb penalties. And now you're like, we're about to win this game on basically a nothing little field goal. And, you know, on the other side, like, what a spectacular way to lose a game. And, you know, now they're telling us all about how Joey Porter was out on the field instigating stuff. But I'm just saying, like, I agree with your point all the way around that Marvin Lewis has got to, the commentators were saying that he specifically had a conversation with Perfect about going back in the game and keeping his head about him. So either you're not an effective – so right in that moment, so not, you know, just to start the season, but right in that moment he had a conversation with him. And, you know, so either you're not an effective voice or, you know, you got to go. But Joey Porter, should he have been on the field? You know, I'm sure he probably shouldn't have been, because by that time they were already moving Antonio Brown off the field, who, you know, was injured. So Pac-Man Jones, that's his excuse, is that, you know, Porter was out here instigating and he's a coach now. But, I mean, can you not keep your temper for, like, 10 seconds? Like, let this dude say whatever he needs to say, and then you hold your mule, basically, until you guys can get out of here with a win. I mean, that was just a disastrous way. For at least the first 5 seconds after the game ended, I was just sitting there, mouth open, like, this is the most amazing win and loss that I've ever seen. Terrible.
Yes,
terrible.
Indeed it was. It was horrible. And, you know, Joey Porter, he's used to that. Everyone knows Joey Porter from his playing days. That's what he did. He got under your skin.
Exactly.
And you cannot let a coach get under your skin. Even though that game was dirty from the players and the coaches, it's going to go down in history as one of those games that everyone will remember. And it's another notch added to Marvin Lewis's horrifying bungle belt. You know, they just manage to lose games. They have the talent to win games, but they find ways to lose on a consistent basis. And, you know, lucky for Andy, you know, he wasn't playing, so he can't get the blame for this one. So let's go on. Last question. Alabama-Clemson, the game has started. They are playing. Who's your pick to win the NCAA championship this year?
Oh, wow. Oof. I'll go Alabama. Only for the fact that they have, you know, they know what they're doing. And they got a guy who knows what he's doing and has been here before and has the experience and has won a national championship. But, you know, for all the people who've been saying, you know, and I don't want to say for all the people, for all of us who've been saying how tough of a situation it is for the SEC to beat up on each other, you know, now we get an opportunity where we get to see, again, another SEC team in the championship.
Mm-hmm.
We'll get to see the dominance. I honestly do think that it's going to be a win for Alabama, but Clemson has had a heck of a run, and what they did in the last round, I guess we're calling it, offensively was just amazing. So it's going to be like a matchup of wills, but I think that the experience factor and the fact that they're, you know, more of a defensive team will put Alabama on top. I don't think they'll come out with the win.
Yes, I definitely agree with you. You know,
is this where
Nick
you tell me they're
the
losing
job
now by 10? Like, are they not already losing by 10? Are they?
No.
Don't surprise me now, Daniel, and say, well, Rosalyn, I'm going to mess up your prediction because they're already down 10. But
no, it's 0-0. Clemson,
Clemson is
moving the ball a little bit right now. But, I mean, I feel as though Nick Saban, like you said, he has experience. You know, many of those players have been in the championship game. They have the experience. They know what it takes. And, you know, that defense, he has a defense that goes out there and plays every single year. And, you know, Clemson has one of the top offenses in the country. But that defense is also one of the top defenses. So it's one of those battles, and you have the coach. The coach is going to be key. You know, he can make those positive coaching decisions. And, I mean, I've heard his name be mentioned with the Tennessee job through the rumor mill. You know, maybe if he wins the championship, he can head on back to the NFL, you know. He was a part of that Browns team with Bill Belichick before Art Modell moved us. So, I mean, I don't want to talk about the Browns. I made myself all emotional. I'm sorry. But, Rosalyn, listen, thank you. I'm so happy that you took the time out tonight to join us. I definitely appreciate it. Love talking sports with you always. And, you know, before we let you go, please let everyone know where they can find you on social media, where they can find all your work that you are doing right now.
Sure. You can find me on Twitter at @r_Trinity. And there's a link on my Twitter profile that basically, you know, will jettison you to the place where you can find all of my most recent articles. And actually, I'm on Instagram at @r_Trinity as well. And a lot of my rolling out pieces, my fitness stuff, actually goes up there. So if you want to catch me in either of those two places, you'll be pretty much in the know about when I drop stuff or what sports or fitness conversations I'm having. But Daniel, thanks so much for having me on. And again, so now you know it's easy. You just say, I'm going to have you on this date. Are you available? I say yes, and then I come on. So let's not let it be so long again. Let's make it happen again real soon.
Yes, ma'am. I appreciate it, and I definitely will. I know the keys to success now. Once you learn the hard way and you figure out how to be successful, you know, then you use those same exact principles to be successful again. And that's one of the things we talk about on Business Blitz on Tuesday nights, which is our business and entrepreneurship show. So definitely tune in over there. And you are an entrepreneur. You are in the business world. You can probably join us on that show as well some night. So I definitely appreciate it.
Just let
it, Ron.
Me know.
All righty.
See you soon.
All right. Have a good night, Roz.
You too.
Rosalyn Ross, ladies and gentlemen. I love that woman. She's awesome. She's definitely super-duper awesome. And guys, now you know, I love talking some Tennessee Titans because they suck just like my Browns suck. And, you know, I was able to take some of the heat away from my horrible Browns. Amazing. And as you know, on Monday night, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, we have Spit Game, our sports talk show with Ms. Danny Wright. On Tuesday nights, we have Business Blitz, our business and entrepreneurship show at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. On Wednesday nights, we have Commission by Submission, our Christian talk show, which airs at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. On Saturdays, the new time of the show with Big TJ and Monty, the Sportologist, airs Saturdays at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And Sunday night, we have No Box Thinking Radio with Jonathan Kegler, which airs at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And we're just continuing to grow. We're working on some more great shows for you on the Melting Pot Radio Network. So stay tuned for that. And to know what's going on, to stay in the know with the network, follow us on Twitter at MeltingPotRN, at MeltingPotRN. Follow us on Instagram at Melting Pot Radio Network. Also, like us, share our posts on Facebook at facebook.com/ The Melting Pot Radio Network. And if you know someone who would like to be a guest, or you yourself would like to be a guest, please email us at meltingpotradionetwork@gmail.com. And, you know, we will be in communication with you to figure out if you're a good fit, what show, because we have a lineup of great shows on the network. So definitely, definitely continue to like us, follow us. If you're listening in online on Blog Talk Radio, please follow us on Blog Talk Radio so you can stay up to date with our shows. When we post the new shows that are airing on the network, you will be emailed so you can stay up to date to know who's coming on, the many great guests that we have coming up in store for you this year. We have so many great guests booked already this year. It is going to be amazing, and I'm so excited for what God is doing on this network this year, and I just thank him. Now, I want to get back to the NFL playoffs real quick before we end the show tonight. And my gosh, you know, me and Rosalind, we talked a little bit about the horrible collapse of the Cincinnati Bengals. And guys, what in the world happened? What in the world happened? See, me, I have this crazy conspiracy theorist mentality on this. And, you know, part of me wants to believe that when they saw Big Ben trot back on the field with one arm, knowing that Vontaze Burfict knocked them out the game and, you know, they were able to mount a comeback and take the lead, and they looked like they were heading to the next round of the playoffs, and then they saw Big Ben walking back on the field, I think they got a little scared. Marvin got nervous. He probably wanted to keep Vontaze out. You know, he made an amazing interception on that diving grab, and it just looked like he was the hero. He was the hero at that point. And then Jeremy Hill fumbled the ball. Oh, my gosh. I didn't believe it. It was unreal. All he had to do was just run the clock out, and that was the game. That was all she wrote. Jeremy Hill fumbled the ball. Pittsburgh got it back. Big Ben trotted back out on the field, and they got scared. They got scared. They collapsed. That was the most horrible collapse I have ever seen at the end of a football game. Those chain of events that happened from the interception to pretty much ice the game to just running the clock out and then the fumble and then driving down the field. And I don't know if the penalties did not happen if Big Ben wasn't going to take him and get him in a field goal range anyway. He most likely was going to because he's Big Ben. And I'm a Browns fan. I hate the Steelers with a passion, but Big Ben was my guy coming out of college, and he's lived up to everything that I expected him to live up to. I just wish he was in Cleveland when he did it, but that's not the case. Big Ben plays ball, and, you know, he came back out. He showed the heart of a champion. You know, it's hard to knock Big Ben down. It's definitely harder to keep him down, and he stepped back in and made the plays to help get them down the field for those situations to even happen. And, you know, congrats to Big Ben and the stinking squealers for moving on to the next round. good job, guys. You didn't really do it, but y'all there. So a win is a win. That's what they say, right? Any given Sunday, a win is a win. Blah, 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 blah. Now, before we end, I just want to go over to Minnesota and just relive my wonderful, wonderful, wonderful Ace Ventura Pet Detective days. And the laces, no, not the laces. Blair, I appreciate you being a man and stepping up and taking the blame. You kicked it. It was you. But at the same time, we know Ray Finkel hated Dan Marino because of the laces. You have the right to Ray Finkel him. No, don't Ray Finkel him. Please don't turn into a woman, Blair. Please, please, please. I know I just went way left field, but those who know and love Ace Ventura Pet Detective, they understand where I'm coming from. It's one of my favorite movies. Jim Carrey is one of my favorite actors, and that movie lives forever. And I know that when he kicked that ball in its sail wide left, everybody thought about Ace Ventura. Don't front, y'all. Don't front. Don't act like you did not, because I know you did. I know that you did. It's no way that you didn't. It's no way. It's absolutely no way. You know, because the ball sailed, and that was all she wrote. Minnesota lost the game, which they shouldn't have. And you all know about my Minnesota rant and how much I hate the fact that Teddy Bridgewater, who should be the Browns' star quarterback, is in Minnesota leading them to playoffs and stuff like that. You know, oh, man, it hurts. It hurts. Draft day still hurts, guys. Draft day still hurts. I'm just praying that the Cleveland Browns can pull a movie scripted draft day like Kevin Costner did, and we shall be great. And next week, can't wait to come back on. Big game, 8 p.m. Going to talk some more NFL playoffs. Going to talk the winner of Alabama-Clemson. Going to talk some coaching searches and all that great stuff. So, everyone, you have a great night. Thank you again for the support. Love you.
Friends, you're on.